TX, mobile.
4ZLK, mobile temporarily.
How's your day been going?
TR.
Oh, I just wonder if he's headed this way, since you're all TR.
Oh, and then I'll be heading that way.
QSL? Oh, you interrupted my nice little nap setting at the table. Go ahead, Shane.
If you got cookies or pies, I'm on my way too. And 4ZLK.
Still made some cookies today, but we ain't got nothing for Patrick today. He's just gonna have to starve or have egg sandwiches.
Apologize for interrupting your beauty sleep, because you need all of it you can get.
That's one, Shane.
And I don't know if there's enough left, enough beauty sleep out there for you, Tom.
On the old guy day, right?
I want you to tell you the truth, but you're right, Patrick. You don't get any better looking when you get old.
He didn't come back, Patrick. Thought maybe I'd offended him too much.
He knows we're just joking with him, I'm sure.
Just watch your back, boys. I can dish it out as fast as I can take it.
You left, Tom. I hope you and Bernice are doing well today.
The snow has increased now 4 to 8 inches up this way.
Earlier, they're calling for 6 to 8 up our way, or something like that, or 8 to 10, something.
Hey.
As the Germans say, no Vorstandsy. We're just going to hibernate. That's all there is to it.
Out on the side by side or the skid steer or tractor one, removing snow.
Hibernating as well. I just talked to my boss that I'm going to be staying at home.
That's using your head if you can. You just never know. The snow, not so bad. The ice, that sucks.
Made it rough, that's for sure.
Tomorrow. Now, they may close them off early, but I said I live too far out, and I want to stay home, so they had somebody to cover for me.
Advantage of being one of the old guys there at the place you work, you have some seniority.
Good. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you. It didn't matter how much seniority I had. There was one head electrician, and part of the time they hire a helper for me, and that was about it. So 24 hours a day and 6 days a week and sometimes more, but I liked it.
Well, you gotta be a union worker, I guess. Paid sometimes.
One of those old guy jabs in there.
In the union for 14 years, Shane, and they screwed me once, and so we made up. They did it twice. 3 times it'd be shame on me, and I told them to stuff it after 14 years. There wasn't nothing they could do about it up there.
You gotta watch your back with them, that is for sure. Most of the time it doesn't help out, but there are things you can take advantage of. And trust me, there are plenty of people standing in line trying to take advantage of it.
Well, tell you, I never did get involved with it. I just paid my dues from day one on. But they did that to me twice, and I hated to quit, but it was a little bitty union. Didn't amount to anything. Allied Industrial Workers. Wasn't nothing like the railroad unions or the unions for Teamsters and stuff like that. And I just told him after that, I said, hey, I'm not going to allow this to happen a third time. I said, I don't need your union to work. And they said, you can't quit. And I said, well, you're either hard hearing or you don't read lips.
States come in handy as well. But anyway, I'm in the driveway, so I'll let you guys go. Nice to hear you. Hope you have a good day. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you tomorrow sometime. And 4ZLK.
Same, KO4HKX.
Yeah, I hated to drop out of it, but wow. It's a long story, but I don't like people to trap on me, I guess you'd say, and they did twice, and like I said, even though I wasn't an officer or nothing like that, I thought I'd ought to be treated equally, and I wasn't, and I wound up making a lot more money than they did, so I guess it worked out.
I've never been a part of a union. When I worked up at DuPont, they tried to get a union voted in up there, but I was one of the ones that said, nope, I don't want it in here. They have their place, and I think they've outlived most of their usefulness.
And I've seen both sides of it. I've seen the company take advantage of people. It seemed like every year they'd offer us a raise, and I'm talking back in the old days, you know, 25, 35 cents an hour, and then the Blue Cross and Blue Shield or whatever insurance you had would go up, and it would eat the raise.
I mean, I know that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're completely useless, but they are, they take advantage of the situation at times, too, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Both sides of that fence do.
Oh, I saw it firsthand. My dad was head of the United Transportation Union there, where we lived. And I saw a guy that was an engineer. It was, they caught him getting on the head end of the train to drive an engine back from Kansas City back down to Pittsburgh. And that was 125 miles, and he was drunk. And they fired him. They was real strict about things like that. I mean, if you back through a switch or any little thing, usually you got fired. And anyways, Dad got his job back. And I think it was all because he was a state senator at the time. And I just didn't think that's right, because you're risking other people's life, you know, when you got 15,000-ton train behind you.
Well, Tom, I'm getting ready to pull in at my next stop, so I'm going to jump out of here, try to get them wrapped up as quick as possible, and I'll give you a shout when I start heading that way.
Okie doke. I needed to get up anyways, Patrick. I just laid my head down for a few minutes. And I'll see you in a little while. This is N0TR, clear.
KO4HKX, clear.
N0TR, KO4PXB.
Good afternoon, Lloyd. How you doing, buddy? Hope you don't have to work in that stuff tomorrow.
Yep, more likely not. What I'll do is I'll just log in and support them, the IT-wise, you know, remote.
Do that, can't you? You can take over somebody's computer remotely, I think.
Yep, definitely so. Like I said, that way, worst kind of worst, somebody, you know, if they want us to come in first thing in the morning, and then if before it starts getting bad, then they let us go from there. But if it's already bad to begin with and starting, it's only going to get worse. Kind of makes no sense to drive in and then have to risk going home and, you know, with the roads already bad.
This is N0TR. Yeah, I know what you mean. Most of my life, my second job in life, I worked one job for a year at an electrical apparatus manufacturing plant. And then I worked 32 years at a large machine shop. And I'll tell you, I was lucky because I could be at work in about 6 minutes. And that was a big plus. Although there was times back in Kansas where you had to shovel your way out of the driveway, Lloyd, and a lot more often than down here, I can tell you. They're going to catch it tonight even, or today. But, I had to I had to work in it. I'll never forget having to go out on the roof on a 13 million BTU stress oven, and we had two 275,000 BTU forced air heaters on the sandblast room, and those were just a couple of things that you couldn't let go down.
Yep, definitely not, because they mentioned that it's up to the shift supervisor for that Honeywell Arrow, which is right there in Greer, to let the people go off, or have maybe a skeleton crew working, or just to not work at all, but then the people have to take the vacation time.
I crawled across that roof when there was ice on it, and worked on 480 volts three phase, and you don't make many mistakes on that stuff and get away with it, I'll tell you. Almost fell off that roof one time, but luckily I didn't. I asked him to put a guardrail up, and this was back before OSHA had anything to do with it. And no, I can't afford that.
Yeah, I'm truly glad you didn't fall off the roof with it. Yeah, because then they would have probably fired you about 1 foot before you hit the ground.
Thought of that, but it was 20 feet to the concrete, and I worked up to 65 feet every day on overhead cranes and things, but that fall from that roof outside, if anything over 20 feet is probably going to be fatal, and so I doubt if they had to worry about it much. They just hired somebody else.
And as the saying goes, it's not the fall that kills you, it's just that sudden stop.
They never even put guardrails, and then OSHA made them. So when you crawled out and you had your chill pouch and meters and stuff like that, it was nice. You could lean back against that guard and stop and rest. And then the first stop was 35 feet, I think. And then the next stop was about 45 feet to the cranes. And if you had a guard on them, that was a good thing.
Yep, definitely sounds that way.
Home, Lloyd, it's after quitting time.
Sir, I'm on Highway 14 right here at SC80, getting ready to cross over it. And even though it's only been said that when people's parachutes do not open, they pretty much die of a heart attack long before they hit the ground because of the sheer stress and panic of knowing what's going to happen.
I don't know about that, but I went through parachute training, but I never ever had to jump. I wished I had. My nephew flies 787s for American. A couple of years ago, he jumped out of a plane and parachuted, and he said, that was the most exciting thing he ever done.
Yeah, I bet. I know he enjoyed it.
He had a lot to lose, he's a captain. I think he was a flight officer at the time, but now he's a full captain. But yeah, that always sounded like a lot of fun. After going through all the training and stuff where you put on a parachute harness and you're standing on the end of the pool and they hook a cable to you on your chest, and they tell you to close your eyes and hold out your hands to your side, and then they jerk you into a swimming pool and they drag you the full length of the swimming pool, and you have to get out of that parachute harness to simulate the wind catching you after you hit the ocean, because we were always flying over the ocean, and I'll never forget some of them guys, they let the wrong straps loose. If they let the top straps loose first, I think it inverts you. They drug them the full length of that pool.
Yeah, I bet they only did that once.
Yeah, we had a couple of guys, they drilled it into us. Take the ones off, I believe your legs was first, and then the one off your chest, and roll out of it. But There's always somebody who's got to goof up, you know.
Yep, there's always that one in the crowd, and hopefully the classmates didn't get the corrective measure for that person messing up.
We go out to the strip mines that have been there for, 60, 80, 100 years, and that's where we swam, or else in a pond or in a river. And, heck, I was like a water pig. I didn't care. I loved the water. It was always a lot of fun to me. And there was guys that joined the Navy, and they didn't know how to swim, but I'll guarantee you they did the time they left boot camp.
Yeah, when I was on active duty Army, it was always funny because they had a class called drown proofing, and it was always said that, well, I want to prove that I'm not going to drown instead of drown, that I can prove that I can drown. That's easy.
Pretty cool how they taught you to, after Pearl Harbor, they realized that, maybe even before, I don't know, the fuel oil from the ships got torpedoed or hurt. That's Bernice over there doing dishes, or putting them in the dishwasher. And they teach you how to swim through that burning oil without drowning. And then they also would teach you that you take and you tie knots in the legs of your dungarees and then kind of take both hands and catch air with them and pull them back down into the ocean. And then you could make yourself a life preserver that way.
The Army did the same thing. Then it was always the standing joke, you get rescued without your pants on.
Yeah, but I don't think that would have bothered me. Everybody took showers in the same big shower anyways. But that was some good training. And then deep water survival training, they'd come out and they'd pick you up with a helicopter. And they'd tell you over and over and over, don't touch that hook until it hits the water, because the draft from the helicopter blades makes static electricity on it. And, it's a loop down the bottom. And inevitably, we had some of them that reach up and grab that in panic. And it would just knock the snot out of them with that static electricity.
Yeah, I guess they called them Sparky after that.
And the parachute, if you parachute out and you get in the water, a lot of people don't realize it. There's always wind over the ocean, almost inevitably. And it'll drag you and drown you. And that's why they did that with the cable and with the winds, and they drag you through the swimming pool.
Yep, there's always a reason for the training.
I watched just a little bit of that Special Forces show last night. They got a new series, and they supposedly are putting people through what Special Forces go through. Well, I got to tell you, Lloyd, you and I know better. I mean, they put them through some pretty tough things, but it ain't near like going through the real thing.
Nope, I watched a little bit of it when they were doing the bungee jump off the bridge, and the guy mentioned to like maybe five of the other people, if you make a noise, then you fail that part because it's supposed to be stealth. And this lady got down to the bottom, and you heard it, the sudden stop from the, and she goes, and he passed her anyway.
Airborne, when they come into Omaha and different places like that, Omaha Beach and that, and those Rangers, I'll never forget seeing them climbing up those walls. Of course, in the movies, this was before my time, but if they fell, they couldn't scream. They just fall, and I guess those guys are trained that well that they did that.
Yeah, that's definitely always a good thing to be. When I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey, getting ready to go back to Iraq for the second time, they were doing a rollover drill, and when my group was in the vehicle, which was a Humvee at that point in time, and I told my guys to go and undo their seatbelt, and the instructor stopped us. Why did I tell my guys to undo their seatbelt? It's because I told him, I have been over the Tigris River, and I know it's so much of a swift water that vehicle turns over. You've got 2 or 3 seconds to undo that seatbelt. And I told him, said, you got your 9mm pistol on you. Leave everything else and just get to the top, because you're not going to have much time.
Your experience is everything, I'll tell you, Lloyd. Oh, you got more guts than I got. That sounds rough, but all of that was rough over there. My cousin was bird colonel in 82nd, and he told me a few stories that happened over there in the first war in Iraq, and then he parachuted into Panama and Grenada, and then he was in the first Iraq war, and he loved it, man. He'd rather jump out of a good airplane than fly in it, I think.
Yeah, we probably stomped the same grounds that me and the lieutenant colonel did, because we've been to pretty much all those places.
Was you an officer or enlisted?
Was enlisted.
He made colonel, and he was at the house one day, and he was griping. He said, they throwed me out like a bunch of trash, Tom. And I said, well, what's the deal, Don? Well, he said that they, at 27 years, he was on the general's list. And if you don't make general 27 and a half years, I guess it is, they muster you out at 30 years. I said, Don, you make a little over $100,000 a year, and you get full benefits, medical, the rest of your life, and 75% pension. I said, enjoy them grandkids.
Definitely, he has nothing to sweat about. Just sit there and relax.
Yeah, but that was his life. And you know, from the time he was a teenage boy, he was one mean son of a gun. And we thought he'd wind up in jail, but he never did. And although he came close, but then he went on and had a great success in the Army. He went through ROTC training out at our university, and he tried the Navy, but he didn't like that at all. He went on a kiddie cruise or something up north one summer, and he just decided he'd rather be in the Army. I don't know the reason, but he was very successful at that. And my other cousin was a JAG lawyer at Fort Leonard Wood. And he was in Afghanistan for one tour and earned the Bronze Star. I don't know how you do that as a lawyer, but he did. And he volunteered for that. I told him he needed his head examined.
It definitely just takes all kinds. When another little scenario we were doing in Fort Dix, New Jersey, you know what the Combat Lifesaver course is, that they were not teaching it realistic, because they were doing it in the classroom setting. It was all nice and clean and pristine. And I told the guys that were getting stuck with the IV needles, I told the instructors that this is not, you know, true realistic training, because when a soldier is hurt, he's going to be flailing around, and it's a lot harder to stick him with an IV when they're flailing around and they're hurting, and instead of in a classroom setting out in the little school desk.
I had a shunt put in from my kidney to my bladder a few weeks ago, and normally I don't have any problems at all. Well, they put the IV in my left wrist here, and she said I hit a valve. I didn't know there was valves in your vein, but I guess it's your heart the systolic and the diastolic, I guess as it pumps, and then those valves close off to keep the blood from all rushing back. And my hand from my knuckles clear back underneath my wristwatch was black. It's just now start, you know, it was bruised, put it that way. From the, it, was, it didn't hurt so bad, Lloyd, just start moving that around trying to catch that vein. Oh, man, did that hurt.
I definitely know it did. And one of the other little tricks of the trade, when they were asking me, well, how would they, he asked permits, how would the real situation go? I said, even though you got to start an IV at night. And so I told him to take on somebody's arm and stretch it real tight where you see the coloration of the vein and take those wide out markers that used to, that you can actually, like the pen type, and put it on each side of that vein, and that way you can line your needle up that you can see it in the dark, and that gives you pretty much a starting reference point.
It's just way beyond my time in the 60s, but only you guys could see.
Tom, go ahead and come back in there because either running through an area and it was just kind of breaking static with just nothing but choppy.
Well, I just wondered, I've noticed the lights on the aircraft now. Well, you guys had night vision, you can see it. But did you have something like that on your helmets to illuminate that hand so that you could actually see his hand?
Now, most of the time, we didn't really run with night vision goggles on. So they driving the vehicle because there really wasn't enough night vision goggles to go around, and it gives you that cyclop vision. I know they have the binocular visions where most of the time they really didn't have the issued the night vision goggles to everybody. So most of the time the soldier just, you know, went without it and adapted.
I never thought about that. I just wondered, I don't know what you'd do to see that, because a red light, like we used to board the carrier and that and everywhere else at night, that wouldn't show up on a vein very well, but if you lit off a white light, you was making yourself a target.
Yeah, the green light, because flashlights have different color lens in it, and in that situation, most of the time used either the green or the blue light. It all depends on what you're doing.
At least you had a little bit of illumination. That's, man, I never thought about that. I remember the atropine syringes, and I remember the morphine. You can grab that and jab it in your leg if you was a corpsman, of course, not an enlisted guy. But there's times when I don't think you're supposed to probably administer that stuff. But I was working at a hospital, and I fell on the black ice right in front of the emergency room, spreading ice melt, and the doctor, when they got me inside finally, it was raining ice. He said, "We're going to give you a little morphine." They gave me a shot, and he says, "You feel better now?" And I said, "I'll take two."
The only time the soldiers had any of the atropine injections is in their chemical mask set, so that way if they ever got the adverse reactions from a chemical attack, then they had to follow the step procedures of the first needle and then wait for a certain amount of time frame for the next one. And they always told it, the biggest warning, not to use your protective mask carrier as a sleeping bag because it had those atropine injections inside it. And I only know like two soldiers that ever had that happen, and the needle went through their cheek.
That would hurt. This is NZERO TR. Yeah, I knocked my shoulder out of joint 2 inches, tore the labrum and the rotator cuff, and got 6 hernias. My center mass of my stomach and that had already been opened up once, and two times. And so there was a scar there. I got 4 little ones there, but 2 enigma ones down there where you normally get them. Had to have 6 of them repaired at once. But that morphine, when that shoulder was out of joint, it was very welcome.
Yep, I bet. The only injury that I've had on active duty was, you know, I had injuries in Iraq and stuff like that, but I broke my foot on my left, broke the bones on my left foot, had a piece of equipment fall on it, and that was beyond painful.
And people don't realize how many bones are on your foot. I've had a subtalar fusion of my left foot, and I can only move it about, an inch each way. It really louses up your balance if you're working on a roof or something, which I can't do anymore. But I had to work up high for lots of years with that way. And then they run a 3.5-inch screw up from about 1/2 inch above the back of my ankle up through my ankle. And then there's 4 other screws in there. And I'll tell you, that foot's hurt every day since. I have to put medicine on it every morning. But I worked on it for a lot of years. And they said, don't work up high. I didn't tell them, but I had to work up high. like old Larry the Cable Guy says, get her done. When you got a family to feed, you do what you got to do, Lloyd.
That is definitely true.
Look, old Patrick could be coming along before long. And, I need to get up, move around here a little bit. I got the chickens fed and everything is squared away. Been down to the daughters this afternoon and got them squared away a little bit down there and had a nice visit. Can't complain, and I think we'll do like we do most every day around here when it's cold. Let's stay inside. You stay safe, my friend. And really great talking to you. God bless you for your service. We all appreciate that. This is N0TR Clear with your final, Lloyd.
All right, Tom, also have a great day. Also, one thing that I recommend to you, like I've done, and I'll give it to my daughter when the time comes, that all the military stuff that I have a memory of and pretty much what I've know that, and they're okay to know and hear. I wrote that down in a journal, so that way, when I pass away, that memory's not lost.
That's a good idea, Lloyd. Well, I went through nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare, frequently called NBC warfare, and there's things there that they showed us that I care not to re-see anymore. That's bad stuff. I'm glad you didn't run into that in Iraq. I'm glad they hung that SOB. I'm sorry. But he got what he deserves. And he killed lots of people. This is N0TR. Good night, Lloyd.
Search KO4PXB. SUB, can I get a radio check, please? Last calling stations, KO4PXB. It's definitely clear. I appreciate that. We're having trouble at this end on receive. We're getting like a cutting in and out every 2 or 3 seconds. It's very annoying. So I wanted to make sure it wasn't going out the same way. And this is kind of driving me crazy. Over. Yeah, it could be the bad weather, the wind, or anything that's kind of affecting it right now. But you definitely came in with no broken traffic on that one.
He's clear down here in Greer to this N0TR.
Okay, Roger. N2SUB, by the way, name here is Jim. I usually just lurk around, but it's getting a little crazy. It's just this one repeater, and it's been going on for quite a while, so I haven't been listening that much because it's very, very strange. So it must be a local thing here in the shack, but I've got all kinds of stuff running here, and it's just this one repeater. So, very strange, over. What you might want to try is record that repeater name and then check it on the Echo Link and see if it does the same thing.
What's your location, sir? My name's Tom.
You know, I'm a pretty smart guy, and I don't know why I didn't think of that. I've got scanners running all over the place with recording ability and everything. I just haven't been concentrating on this too much, but I figured with the snow coming, let's see if we can get up and running and listening and being able to communicate if we have to. But that's a great thought. I appreciate it. N2SUB, go ahead. No, like I said, that was my thought to see if the thing is cutting out on Echolink, or it might be just the radios, you know, having issues, or then if it's doing the same thing on the Echolink side of it, then it would definitely rule it out as the that.
Well, Paris Mountain or something that might be a part of it.
One other repeater is just fine and solid right in here. I'm in South Greenville, kind of by the Donaldson Center. This has never been a problem before. It just kind of started happening, and I'm going to guess about a year ago. But it is, you know, it's one of those things. We all have them in finger on, over.
Okay, Lloyd, I'll drop out here and let you guys continue. But you sure got a fine signal here, sir. This is N0TR clear.
Yeah, I'm on Highway 14 just crossing Woodruff Road, so... All right, that's one of my favorite Mexican restaurants over there. All right, well, I'm going to let you go and try and see if I can figure this out. But I appreciate you coming back to me and giving me a check there. I'm glad it's not happening on both directions. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon. I did not catch the call sign just simply because it's tough on receive at this end. But this is N2SUB, November 2 Sierra, Uniform Bravo. And again, the name is Jim, South Greenville. And we'll be listening. It's N2SUB, guys. Jim, my call sign is Kilo Oscar 4 Papa X-Ray Bravo. My name is Lloyd. Well, we got your number now, so be careful. We'll say 73 to you for now and go back to listening. Kilo Bravo 4 Papa, I forgot. I didn't get that. Kilo Papa 4 Bravo. Kilo Oscar 4 Papa question mark Bravo. So just give me that on the way back. Send to SUB. All right, sir. Have a great day. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Papa X-Ray Bravo. Kilo Oscar 4 Papa X-Ray Bravo. N2SUB73. We'll talk to you soon.